How do I decide every week what I want to talk about? Not easy to decide. So first of all, I always tell the guys, you guys should send me in topics. Send me in topics. So I say again, please send me in topics. But I try to look around and think around what's going on in the world, what requires some thought about how to deal with as a Ben Torah. So when I was thinking about what's going on in the world now, so I wanted to speak a little bit about faith in trying times. Having faith in difficult times. I don't know about you, I don't know what your guys' feeling is, but my feeling is, I mean, having grown up for the last, approximately close to 50 years in this country. So there are many, many times. Again, I think by nature, I'm somebody who's very nervous. I get nervous about stuff easily, which is, you know, part of my problem. But over the years, there's so many times where you're looking at what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. You're looking at what's going on in the way the world looks at us, and you just say, like, what in the world is going to be the end game here? You're literally, like, scared for the future of the Jewish people, scared for the future of the state of Israel. You're really scared when people are just, you know, you can get nervous. I know that many times throughout my childhood, and then young adulthood, and then older adulthood, fatherhood, you're nervous. You look around and you say, it's like, mamish, people are killing us in cold blood in the streets. In Europe, people are, you can't walk outside with a yarmulke in Europe, basically. On college campuses of the United States, you're being persecuted. So how do you deal with this? So I have a very simple approach to this, but maybe we'll come at it from a couple of ideas. One from the Parsha, very interesting pasuk of Soloveitchik pointed out. Everybody points it out. Soloveitchik had a very creative, interesting way of looking at it. Pasuk says, "Vayavo Avraham luspod l'sara v'liv kosa." Avram, when Sarah died, so Avram came to give a hesped for Sarah and to cry for her. And the Mefarshim already point out that the order of the pasuk seems a little bit out of order. One would have expected he came first. The first, when he heard the news, first he would cry, then he would give a hesped. Why does it say luspod l'sara? First he gave a hesped and then he cried. So many different interpretations. Rav Soloveitchik understood that there were two dimensions to Sarah Imenu's life. There was Sarah, the matriarch of the Jewish people, and there was Sarah, Avram's wife. And Avram, at the funeral, felt that first he had to deal with Sarah as Sarah, the matriarch of the Jewish people. First he had to give a hesped about who Sarah was as the matriarch, as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Only after he had paid the respect to Sarah as the matriarch of Klal Yisrael did he allow himself his own personal loss. First he wanted to discuss what Klal Yisrael lost. Only after he spoke about Klal Yisrael lost, l'spod l'sara, then he allowed himself his own personal pain. And this, first of all, I always thought it was a very beautiful, interesting answer. But it's interesting that your own, when it comes to funerals and loss of relatives, so it's interesting that Avram was able to control his own personal pain until after first being maspid. And apparently, I heard of Shechte say something over the summer, which, you know, I never knew. And I thought most of the other Mefarshim say it a little bit differently. Which, of course, you know, wouldn't be the first time you hear something from Shefi. He has his own original idea. But again, I didn't have time to research this thoroughly. Maybe Rabbi Leibowitz afterwards can follow up if he knows more about this topic. But there's a Gemara Moed Katan that the Gemara says that Gimel Yamim Lebechi, right? That really, let's say, as opposed to Tisha B'Av, right? On Tisha B'Av, there's a halacha that you're supposed to cry. You have to cry. And the more you cry, the better on Tisha B'Av. But when it comes to mourning over a lost relative, the Gemara says, Gimel Yamim Lebechi. You're not supposed to cry so much at the loss of a relative. The Gemara says, for 3 days, you cry. The Gemara in Mordechai even says that any person who cries too much over a mace will end up crying over more mace. So says the Gemara al-Lashon. And the Rambam seems to give the reason. Why is this? The Rambam says, because this is minhago shel olam. Everybody dies, right? There hasn't been somebody yet in the history of the world who has lived forever. We haven't had such a thing. It doesn't exist. Everybody's going to die. So you're not supposed to get so upset. The way Rav Schechter phrases is so interesting. He said, 3 days, when the Gemara says Gimel Yom Lebechi, it means that's a heter to cry. 3 days is a heter to cry. You would think that it's that when somebody dies, it's forbidden to cry. Well, why would you think it's forbidden to cry?
Okay, here we go.
Because if the person died, that means the Rabbanu Shalom thought it was time for the person to die. So what are you crying about? So in other words, but you felt the closeness. So the Torah, in deference to the human natural instinct of wanting to express pain over the loss of a close relative, so the Torah allows you to cry for 3 days. But really, as of the way, really you shouldn't cry at all. That's what it sounds like from what he was. Really, you shouldn't cry at all. Person dies. Okay, the Rabbanu Shalom did. You know, and again, sometimes you go to a shiva house of a person who lived a very, very long life, and nobody's crying in the shiva. They're not crying in the shiva house. Not crying at all. The person lived mamish 100 years, 95 years, lived a full life, saw grandchildren, had no pain, had a wonderful life. It's a celebration. There's people who die. They don't cry. Sometimes it happens. I know my father was sitting in shiva. He didn't cry either because he cried 2 years before. When my grandfather got the dementia, and you know, he cried it all out already 2 years before when he stopped functioning. When he stopped functioning, that's when he cried. So he had cried already then. So by the time he passed away, he didn't cry. He almost felt like it was better for the nifta. He was so tortured when he was in life. It was better that he. Anyway. But so there's this fascinating concept that when a person is struck by trying times, a person who's a mamin, a person who has a strong connection to Hashem, who believes that Hashem runs the world, who believes kol ma da'avad rachmana l'tavavid, who believes that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. And that if a person really has that attitude in life, but really has that picture, so when he sees the whole world crumbling around him, and when he sees Jewish blood, rachmana l'tzlan, flowing freely in our land, with people running people over in cars and stabbing people in cold blood. Mamish stabbing people, running people over. Mamish, so you wonder, like, what's going on? It's Mamish, you're scared to walk out. You see what's going on in college campuses in the United States. So the answer is that we have to have emunah. We have to have emunah. We have to believe. Just like you're not supposed to go too crazy when a real tragedy happens and somebody passed away. Why? Because maybe this is also some of the Rishonim say pshat like this. In the pasuk, pasuk says in Pashas Re'eh, "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem lo tiskodedu v'lo sasim mikarcha b'inanechem l'meis." So the pasuk says, "You're sons of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so don't make. You're not supposed to make marks in your skin or make marks in your head when somebody dies. To cut yourself up like the non-Jews do." So Pashas Re'eh, why is this pasuk introduced? As "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem." Torah should have said, "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, take a lulav." Why over here? No, but so l'chora, what it means is no. A person who has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, feels that closeness, he won't need to make a karcha b'neinechem l'meis because he has support in the fact that, well, if this happened, the Rabbanu Shlom decreed that it should happen. And again, I understand that the words that I'm saying are much more easily said than done. It's much easier to say this. And I also am always honest when I talk about these things. I remember once heard Rav Schechter say this. I think he said this at one of his avelises for one of his. You know, he said, or he says it a lot of times. He said, you know, people talk about reactions to tragedy. He says, I really can't speak of reactions. I've never had any tragedy in my life. Rav Schechter said it. I've heard him say it many times. I've never had any tragedy in my life. You know, Baruch Hashem. He never experienced. He never had to experience real tragedy. So I say this. I mean, I say the same thing. B'li'ayin and hara, like the closest thing I ever had was the death of a very, very close chavrusa of mine, who I was very close to. That was like the closest I experienced to any kind of tragedy. So A, it's easier said than done. B, it's, and I'll tell you that when my close chavrusa passed away, I asked a lot of questions. It's not like I, you know, just reacted and said, oh, it's emuna pshuta, Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. It was very hard. I honestly didn't, you know, maybe at that point I wasn't at the Madriga, whatever. So I'm saying I understand that this is A, easier said than done, A, and B, you know, having myself never really experienced, you know, b'li ayin hara, I'm not asking for it and 100 times, so it's easier to talk about it when you don't actually have to do it. I remember Rabbi Billet speaking at his granddaughter's levaya. Nebuch, he had a granddaughter passed away very, very tragically. He also lost a child. Rabbi Billet was a child. So I remember the way he spoke at that time. You know, he said it was the levaya by JFK. So I don't remember all things, but I just remember him saying, I still have my faith. Very, very, very difficult. I remember when. So you know, it's people who have gone through it who really have the best perspective on this. I remember there was a young boy from YU who passed away. Terrible story. Very, very quickly. He was totally healthy and then very quickly passed away. And a lot of his, he was friendly with a lot of kids from DRS, and a lot of kids were going nuts about it. And they came to the Young Israel Woodman one day. They were all crying and crying. And Rabbi Billet got up and he said to them, you know, this is what he said to them. He said, you can't cry too much. I understand you're upset, but this is the Ribbono Shel Olam's plan, and you can't ask questions on it. We don't understand, and you have to go further. You have to realize it. And the more a person is connected to the Master of the Universe, the more a person is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and really believes that God runs the world, the less stress he has when these things go on in the world. Again, you got to make your hishtadlus. Obviously, you got to try your best to fix these things. You can't just sit back and say, "Oh, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu take care of everything." You know, the Arabs are killing. Oh, okay, the Arabs are killing us. We're just going to let. Obviously, you got to take steps. You got to defend yourself. You got to figure out the security situation and figure out how to do. But there can't be a sense of yish. There can't be a sense of like despair and hopelessness. And of course, there's sadness at the tragedies, and we daven. We have to daven. Hope it doesn't happen. So, I heard this week, and he wasn't saying himself. Someone introduced me on the internet to, there's a rabbi named Rabbi Biederman who gives talks on the internet. Rabbi Melech Biederman. So he said something. And also in the very same Rashi, Kulan Shavos Latova. Mea Shana V'Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shana, it says in the first pasuk, Shnei Chaye Sara. What does Rashi say? It's very strange, right? It's extra words. It doesn't make sense. It says, Vayu Chaye Sara. And the life of Sara was, Mea Shana V'Esrim Shana V'Sheva Shana. And it says again, Shnei Chaye Sara. These were the years of Sara. It's very strange. The beginning. So Rashi says, Kulan Shavos Latova. What's Rashi trying to teach us? So this Rabbi Biederman said on the tape, Sara Yimeinu, how many tzaras did she have in life? She didn't give birth till she didn't have a child till she was very late in life. She has a child, and the child is a Rasha Marusha. First of all, she tries to have she tries to bring her maid servant in to marry Avram, and she gets in trouble for that. And then the maid servant ends up sticking it to her and being arrogant to her. And the maid servant has a child, and the child is a Rasha, and she had so many tzaras. Rashi's saying her attitude was always Kulan Shavos Latova. That Sarah's attitude was, my whole life was all Latova. Kulan Shavos Latova. It was all good. There wasn't one moment in my life that wasn't good. That was her attitude. That was Sarah Yemena's attitude. Despite everything, Kulan Shavos Latova. I come back again to Rabbi Krigsman's Shiva. Again, I quoted a couple of weeks ago this, the Menahel from Yeshiva Katana of Long Island. I paid the Shiva calls, and I learned a lot from that Shiva call. So last time I talked about how he was all upset what he couldn't put on tefillin, if you remember, his father. But the prelude to that story was that his father was the type of person, exactly the type of person. Everything in life, he always felt, oh, I have so much. Hashem has been so good to me. I have so much. Everything he had, never like a complaint about his stresses or complain about his issues or complain about, never, oh, Hashem has always been so good to me. Hashem is so good to me. The thing that was so... He said, even when the brain tumor, when they discovered a brain tumor, and it was too large, the brain tumor was too large to operate. So I said, oh, Baruch Hashem, the brain tumor is too large to operate on, because if it would have been small, they'd have to operate, they'd have cut me up and mitchin me, and I would have to go there, and I would get all messed over. Okay, the Rabbanu Shalom said, I had 80 years of, you know, of good life, and even in the end, he's being so good to me that they can't operate, so I'm just going to have to, you know, go out, you know, normally. So even the being diagnosed with a brain tumor, so he said, the kids were all going crazy, but my father said, oh, cool, that's cool on Shavuos Latova. Whatever happens to you, again, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. It's a very high madriga that somebody has that madriga, but that's kulan Shavuos Latova. When we think about what's going on in the land of Israel, we have to think about Ein lanu ami lihisha'ein el alavinu shebashamayim. We need to realize that Hashem is marching the world according to His plan. We should not lose our bitachon, not lose our sense of hope and optimism that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants will happen. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovecha v'hu yikalkalecha. Throw upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu your troubles and He will sustain you. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chavam and Bey says, the Chacham didn't know what this pasuk meant until they saw some Arab, you know, taking up his package and giving somebody else. I saw Rabbi Tzadok says that it's as much as there's a pasuk that says throw upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu your burdens, but we don't really understand what that means. I mean, I said very nice, I'm going to throw on HaKadosh Baruch Hu my burdens. Okay, how does that loosen the burden? Still didn't go away. I still have the burden. I still have the issue. So somehow you have to see it. You have to see somebody who is unloading. Once heard from Rabbi Billet also, it says, Saras Rabim is Chatzi Nechama. Saras Rabim is Chatzi Nechama. That if I know somebody else is going through the problem also, so it helps me out. Chatzi Nechama. How does that help? I understand. So I'm really upset because I, you know, Chas V'Shalom, a relative of mine is very sick. Somebody else has a relative is very sick, so that helps me out. How does it help me out? My relative is still sick. Oh, you're also in pain. Baruch Hashem. So you're in pain. So how does that work? So he said the pshat, which I think is a very nice idea, that, you know, the vart is that when you see somebody else going through it and coping with it, and that his life is still normal and he's able to go ahead with it, that is a big chizuk, because that tells a person, oh, my life is not over. It's possible to move on from this. It's possible to continue to have faith even in a difficult time. That's Tzaras Rab Mechatzi Nechama. Not when you see somebody else's pain, he has pain, so my pain is not so bad, because he has pain too. Oh, he has pain too. Everybody has pain. I have pain, you have pain, we all have pain. So that doesn't help. It's not going to help your pain that somebody else has pain. No, the word is that somebody else is getting through it. That there's a light at the end of the tunnel, that there's going to be a nice future, there's going to be a positive. That's what he wants to say. Just close with this. There's a very, very popular song right now in Israel. Like the most popular song. It's like the most popular song in years and years and years and years in Israel. It's from the words of Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. I'm not usually somebody, you've listened to me, some of you are listening to me for 2-3 years. I'm not somebody who usually quotes from Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov, but if the entire land of Israel, from the Haredim to the modern Orthodox to everybody, Chassidim, Misnagdim, everybody singing this song. I think if half the people would know the words came from Nachman Mibreslov, maybe half the people wouldn't be singing it. But Lamaisa, so the words of the song are, right, the Torah says, V'anochi haster aster panai. God says that sometimes He turns His head away. So the words of the song, Reb Nachman Mibreslov commented on this pasuk, V'anochi haster haster. Not only is God going to turn His face away, He's going to doubly, haster aster, He's going to, it's going to be terrible Hester upon him. It's going to be a Hester Besocha Hester. It's going to be, even what you think is revealed is still going to be hidden. God's going to totally hide Himself away. So Rabbi Nachman says, V'afilu b'hastara besocha hastara b'vadai gam shom nimtza Hashem Yisparach. Even in the Hester Shebesocha Hester, Rabbi Nachman said, you have to realize that there's still a HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind the world. I don't know if we're getting to the point of maybe we're mamish b'hastara Shebesocha Hastara. We don't know what's going on. So it's important for all of us to remember that there's been a Ribbono Shel around before the world was created. There's going to be a Ribbono Shel around after the world was created. Ribbono Shel has a plan for the world. We have to remember to be strong in our sense of connection, our sense of emunah, and to realize when there's a tragedy when that happens, yeah, maybe crying is appropriate for a short amount of time, but to realize that there's a bonus number in the world. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu really see our amunah, see our bitachon, see the fact that we're relying on Him. Hashleicha Hashem Yehavecha. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that, in fact, we will throw our troubles and burdens on Him. V'hu yichal kalecha. Hopefully, He will sustain us. He will deliver us from these tzaros and deliver us into the time of redemption. We won't have to worry about these things anymore. May that day come to Hervi Amen. Amen.